The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Good morning or good evening, depending on whether you're listening to us live or via the podcast from Fresh FM, the greatest radio station who hosts the Deadline Report with Ben Bidge Investigates, or maybe you've come to my website, the Dyslexic Detective, postmanproductions.com, where again you can find all sorts of visuals and additional stories in relation to what I'm doing each month. I do a thing called the Shipping News, and do get in contact if you're keen to be a supporter of that. Now, a couple of things. Today we're going to do, this is actually going to be devoted to children. We've got a story here which we're going to read you out today, which is called How Wally Wecker and Daffo Dingo Stopped the Man from Dingoland Poisoning the Magic Forest. Now this story I actually wrote as the basically one of my main stories to Ben's New Zealand, my magazine that I put into cafes each summertime around the South Island. A wonderful illustration by Rain Diebold, Dean Bart, and then Raybold, R-A-B-O-U-L-D. Fantastic cartoonist, do check out his stuff. He's down in Oamaru there as well, so he always exhibits quite frequently down there. So if you're down in Oamaru, have a look around. But he's also got a lot of stuff around Nelson. So, and of course, the Ben New Zealand magazine is, again, relevant to the story which we're going to read out today about the situation, because we all know what's happening in Sam's Creek. But basically, I'd also like to remind people that while you may not have heard of me, or Ben's New Zealand, 2 years ago we did a story, in fact, 3 years ago we did a story on special economic zones that were being proposed by the national government, and that are now put to them in a paper written by the New Zealand Initiative. That's the New Zealand arm of the Atlas Network, the group that supports the ACT Party and apparently New Zealand First and National as well. And they were talking about the special economic zones, which are kind of work very closely with the TPPA, which unfortunately Labour and kind of by de facto the Greens helped push through as well, which now strengthens the outcome of the fast track bill, because you turn around and let these companies do this, and then some government turns around and tries to undo it, and then they're going to expose themselves to the risk of the TPA investment state settlement dispute clauses, which Labour knew full well about, and that's why they said in 2017, and we voted for them, they'd walk away from the TPPA, but unfortunately they actually signed the TPA. But that's no surprise to us, because if we actually look at how Labour reacted during the Foreshore Act, known as in Labour, even by Labour's own candidates as Labour's darkest legacy, they betrayed the Māori vote, the Ratna vote, which was won and forged together at Black Ball, which is now basically New Zealand's first stronghold, because Labour's walked away from its working class people. But they did this and effectively opened the doors again, beginning for the mining industries. And, you know, again, we know that, you know, it's no accident that Shill Hipkins, the acting MP, acting leader of the Labour Party, it's hard to tell, he's kind of a non-person, but he does, everyone, just remind everybody, he does actually come from a Shill oil background, just like James Shaw came from the corporate background of Bayer, or now known as Bayer Monsanto, which is why you're never going to get a Green Party that could really be fully, truly green, because unfortunately their allegiance are with people like the Department of Conservation, who, let's not forget it, were also sent to Australia to do training, public relations training on how to deal with activists paid for by the mining companies in 2017. Just to paint you the picture about who our friends and allies are in this particular scene. However, National got in and ACT, New Zealand First, and ACT is openly mining. And there's nothing wrong with the idea about mining, but again, my philosophy has been, well, why are we opening up all of these mines? We'll be at 3% of the royalties. And once you take away all the costs that's going to occur from infrastructure and other mistakes and errors and the way that they set this company structure is actually up, because again, go and look at people like Oceana's record, don't really have a very good record, these companies. And again, a lot of these companies, and which bear in mind, like 2 years ago, they were telling us that Siren Gold was a New Zealand company. Well, we now know that's not true. And we're finding the basic pattern of Siren Gold is really to kind of do things by very poor communications and public consultations. Thus, we find that they've actually moved back up to Sam's Creek without telling anyone in the public. And, of course, they're pleading the victim about, you know, the victim and going, well, wait a minute, you said you're going to consult with the public. Let's get back to the first thing. You said you're going to consult the public, and yet we find Ravers finding you with the helicopters up the front, out the back, doing things in a very sneaky way. Not a really, really good look. And this is when you've done your first meeting behind closed doors. So, you know, what I'm saying to people that might think, well, mining's great. Well, maybe it is. But look how it's done and look at what the true costs are. And again, National Party have been very, very silent on the fact that water, gold mining... And that's even the chickens are upset by this. But the National Party have been very good at not telling the farming community that gold uses a lot of water. Now, we also know from the things like the Waimea Dam that was set up as a public-private partnership agreement with the idea, oh, that's okay because the council owns the majority holdings and we'll make sure it doesn't turn into an act of profiteering. But now there are issues, and there's been at least one or two articles about the idea about actually Nelson might actually sell off some of its shares in the Waimea Dam, which means suddenly it's the private enterprise that owns the majority. And they're looking at clients, gold companies will pay more for water, farmers can't afford it. Jeannie, what do you think is going to happen? So maybe before we think this is a great idea, let's get all the actual facts on the table and actually do it in an open and public transparent way. But that's the whole point. The fastball tracking is designed to actually make it so you don't actually see what's actually going on. And even the environmental minister doesn't get to be consulted. So again, in my little particular article from 2 weeks ago, now that the chickens have calmed down, I talked about special economic zones, and these were put by the New Zealand Initiative, the New Zealand arm of the Atlas Network, International Party, while Labour was actually in, they've been actually doing strategic feasibility studies down at Westport about whether special economic zones are a goer. And again, no public consultation, no one's talking about this. Even the activists out here, we've got people out here that are being very, very passionate because they've lived in Gold May all the time and they've taken charge, and good on them. But you know, what I'm also pointing out to them is that, guys, have a look at these things called special economic zones, because you think this is the one battle you've got to fight, but there's actually these other battles coming, and you probably need to start getting prepared, because I have been telling you about special economic zones for 2 years ago, and I was telling you about mining 2 years ago, and you're going, oh no, mining was not going to happen in Golden Bay. The New Zealand Labour government won't allow it under the environmental blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, governments do change government, do change power. And we've also got this whole thing happening around the world at the moment where basically our main political parties are really becoming tools of corporatism, and they work very much in lockstep, i.e., as I said to you, about the TPPA. So, you know, wake up and smell the coffee. So here we are, now we are 3 or 4 years later. Guess what? The mining's taking place. Fast track bill's taking place. If you can't undo that because of the TPA, which again, Labour actually helped it. But coming down the road are these special economic zones. And in these special economic zones, which were actually, just again to give you the credentials behind this, it's like, just don't take my word. Go and talk to Kevin Hague, former member of the Green Party, Forrest and Bird, who wrote a paper about the special economic zones, because what he discovered was during the 2017 military exercise, which was held in this whole Paparoa range, and which if you've been paying attention, you'll be noticing like globes and drones and naval ships have been passing all over this area of very sophisticated surveying tools for the last, pretty much the last 15, 20 years. So like pretty much ever since Oceana Gold turned up at Macraes down in Otago, the mining companies have been coming in and doing really good, investigations, and they've been doing it with the military. Again, not anything new. I wrote a book about Operation Golden Fleece in 1987, which the exercise was actually basically written by the mining industries. In fact, the New Zealand Defence Department wrote this exercise, which was actually based on the Imperial War College in the United States, but they in turn get their material from the mining industry, who also consults the military on things like counterinsurgencies and have entire departments set up to handle public relations, which is said, they paid for Doc to come over and actually do such training in Australia in 2017. So the special economic zones, if they get put through, basically they can allow anything to take place. So forget about the environmental, don't even worry about fast track or any consultations. Like, we're here now, we can do what we want. This area is designated, and if you try to get in the way of that, well, then you'll be breaching basically our right to make a profit, and we can take you to the TPPA. And if we look at what happened in Uruguay, where similar investment state settlement dispute clauses took place under the NAFTA agreement, basically what ended up happening was that Uruguay lost 50% of its GDP. One last point before we get into the kids part of the story, which is going to read you my little kids story. It's interesting now when we look around the world and we go full circle, all these TPA and all these NAFTA trade deals have all been put in place, actually came out of the American political system to begin with. And yet, mostly, these are the systems which actually America's not actually having anything to do with. And so the catch-22 is that their companies can come over here and get the protection benefits of these particular clauses. I said the investment state settlement dispute clauses, but we can't do anything like that in return to America. It's all, what, you know, like, I mean, seriously, why would you be part of you're a clever, astute businessman to that kind of form of globalism? I mean, where in the hell does that actually offer anything? And again, if you go to my website, the Postman Productions, you look up a thing called the Greenstone File, I give you a 75-year breakdown, chronological history, basically about how the mining companies have been putting things in place and very much just like Jingo, taking away little bits of legislation that protect our own rights, protect our own ability to look after our environment while they actually get more and more of resources and the ability to do what they want. Again, not an anti-mining statement. The reality is we could have done all of this ourselves and at a level where we thus had to do reduced amount of mining, still produce the same amount of jobs, got better returns on royalties, and because we're having to do less mining, but because we're doing it all for ourselves and our own domestic purposes, basically that again would, you know, protect, put food on the table. We're basically, the worst thing about this whole mining situation is it's not even just environmental, which actually is pretty bad, as my story will go on, but it's the fact it's bad business. We could actually be using these resources ourselves, even just to leave them in the ground as credit, and actually building for the long-term future. And the fact that neither of our government parties, either Labor or National, will actually come up with those policies or put things in place to protect long-term investment, pretty much what tells you everything you need to know. So I'm going to take a little bit of a break. Today's story is going to go, or the introduction to my children's story, is going to be the famous and highly appropriate song Captain Beaky and his band, The Bravest Animals in the Land. You're on the Deadline Report with Ben Virgin Investigates.
Thank you.
You're on the Deadline Report with Ben Vigin Investigates, care of Fresh FM, the greatest little radio station in the whole South Island and probably the whole world. And this is my co-DJ, Mr. Rocket Rooster. Okay, so today we are with how Wally Wick and Daffo Dingo stopped the man from Dingoland poisoning the magic forest. Thank you, Rocky. Wally Wicker lived in the magic forest in a nest under the bushes that lay under Bob's caravan with his good mates Daffer's Dingoes and Blind Freddy the Frog, next to Big Red, the mighty forest king, also known to his mates as Tane. Yes, I said it's also known as Tane. Thank you, Rocky. Every day, Bob would get up and feed his chickens Caramello and Plucky, and Wally Wicker would help himself to the feed too when Bob wasn't looking. In fact, Wally the Wicker would help himself not just to the chicken feed. Wally the Wicker would borrow Bob's slipper. It made a good bed. Wally Wicker would borrow Bob's bottle tops. They made good glasses. Wally the Wicker would borrow Bob's scrubbing sponge. Daffo Dingoes and Blind Freddy the Frog used them as beanbags. Wally Wicker borrowed Bob's coffee bags. Yes, Wally, I know they like chickens. They like coffee. Wally liked a good brew too. Wally Wicker even borrowed Bob's cell phone. I mean, Blind Freddy the Frog and Daffo the Dingoes just had to watch the All Blacks versus Wallabies on the big screen. Side note here, Daffo the Dingoes is actually a stuffed dingo from the Currumbin Bird Sanctuary, and obviously Blind Freddy listened and kept asking questions as he was not sure which side was which. And thank you, Rocky reintroduces us. Wally the Wicker borrowed Bob's wallet and a few other wallets from tourists at the Muscle Inn. The funny papers inside them made such good wallpaper, and if you cut it up, you had placemats to put your beer mugs on, while drinking Muscle Inn beer they borrowed as well. Bob was beside himself. He would yell, "Bloody thief!" and other naughty words. He would shake his fist and growl at Wally Wicker. "Ho, ho, what a good sport that Bob is," Wally would say, thinking that Bob was just joking in a special Wicker's Asperger's kind of way. And just to show how grateful he was, he would then deposit some Wicker manure for Bob's garden into one of Bob's shoes. Just to make sure Bob found it, because no one can be too careful these days. There are thieves around everywhere. And by the noise Bob had made the next day, Wally could tell Bob had found the pleasant surprise in his shoes and was extra pleased. "You're welcome, Bob," Wally the Wicker would say as he tucked him and his mates into their slipper beds with tea towels and hankies he'd borrowed from Bob as sheets and duvets. One day, a big, noisy iron flying monster full of men from Dingoland came flying past. On the day, it flew poison into the mountains above Bob and Wally's home, and all the kids came down from the mountains. Daddy Dear said crossly, "Go a bugger that! What a right bunch of picky buzzards!" And the Kerr family, you thought like that, did you, Rocky? And the yes, yes, silence in the cheap sheets. I'm glad you think it's funny. And the Kerr family took up roost in the high branches of the Big Red next to Mr. Heron, and now the refugees who had fled from the iron monsters brought in by the men from Dingoland. The next day, the big noisy iron monster, full of men from Dingoland, flew in a whole bunch of dynamite so they would blow holes into the mountain. This was so they could take out the shiny yellow metal that the men from Dingoland loved so much and pour poison into the river. Bob didn't yell. He just looked sad. The river near his caravan in the magic forest began to get sick. I know, that's horrible, Rocky. And songs of the tui, oyster catchers, heron, pigeon, fantoles, geese, peasants, swallows, finches, and their many, many feathered friends began to sound scared and frightened. The normally cheery Kerry family had nothing funny or witty to say. "Mum?" "I know it's horrible, Rocky." "Mum, where will you live if Big Red dies?" said a worried little baby Kerr. "I don't know, darling," said Mummy Kerr, holding about her babies tight. Daddy Kerr angrily clicked a sharp, steely beak and squawked, "They're too powerful. They got guns. Otherwise, I would tear a new one." Even the big dumb German shepherds, young Ernie, old Danzig, Crazy King, and Xena Warrior King, who sometimes visited Bob to help him bark at Wally Wecker in return for some steak, looked sad. They hardly barked at all when Wally borrowed the dog food. Big Red's branches began to turn yellow and sickly. The magic forest began to wither and lose all its magic. "Well, this won't do," thought Wally Wecker. "Come on, Daffers," he said to Dingo Cobber. "It's up to us to stop this bad juju." Daffo's Dingo said, "Struth, I reckon," and he wagged his tail in agreement. And thus Wally and Daffers went home. And from home they got their stuff and they went walkabout until they found the big iron flying monster's base. And they borrowed like they never borrowed in their lives before, being careful not to borrow anything that would hurt anyone, but just hold things up a wee bit. And the men who owned the big iron flying monsters and a whole lot of other big noisy men started yelling in a way that made Bob's morning yells seem quite tame in comparison. The more they yelled, the more the Wally Wecker and Daffo Dingo's borrowed. The men with big iron machines didn't just yell. They laid traps, they sent in hunters, they called in the police. They even called Wally Mum's Wendy Wecker, and she told them to... and a whole bunch of other naughty words. But in the end, Wally and Daffers proved too good at borrowing, and the men, frustrated, packed up and went back home to Dingoland. And soon Big Red looked healthy and happy again. And the Kia family said, "Cheers, Wally!" And, "Cheers, Daffer! You're not too bad for someone from Dingoland!" And the dogs pretended they didn't see Wally Wecker borrow their dog food. Plucky and Caramello only clucked a bit when Wally the Wecker borrowed their chook food. And in fact, Bob never yelled at Wally Wecker again, except when Wally put a big one in his shoes from time to time, just for tradition's sake. Bob was quite pleased with all the extra things that turned up his door while Wally Wecker wagged his borrowing war on the men and iron monsters from Dingoland. And life in the Magic Forest, as Rocky said, was forever magical, as the citizens of Magic Forest understood that some things are more important than yellow metal. Sadly, the solution Wally offers in this fictional story probably won't work in real life at Sam's Creek, where a gold miner's proposal has been threatened on an area of exceptional diversity. I know, that's shocking, Rocky. Shouldn't be allowed. So the best you can do is sign a petition, tell Shane Jones and his dingoes to bugger off. Let Shane and all the other MPs know that their support of Sam's Creek will be remembered come voting times, and we will not be crowing for you loudly or at all. And for the farmers, please remember, it takes 265,000 litres, yes, that's right, Rocky, of water to produce 1 kilogram of coal. Okay, I'll say that again. 265 litres of water to produce 1 kilogram of gold. So if you don't want to pay more for irrigation, then think carefully when local politicians remain tight-beaked on this or any other mining proposal. Sign the petition at saveoursprings.nz. This is Ben Vigen on the Deadline Report, here at Fresh FM, the greatest little radio station in the whole world, and definitely here in the magic enchanted forest of Golden Bay. See you all next week. And that's a big see you from Rocky as well. Yeah, Rocky, I know. Okay, so what I forgot to tell everybody was, apart from go and visit my website, The Dyslexic Detective, where we'll have a whole bunch of other stuff related to this issue up on our website for the next shipping news, number 40. Thank you, Rocky. But we also need to go out today on Louis Armstrong's It's a Beautiful World. Yeah, exactly, Rocky.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, "How do you do?" They're really saying, "I love you." much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.